Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
And maybe you would lead us in and ask God's blessing on what we do this evening.
We open the Word tonight. We can teach us something. We've never heard it before. Intellectually, we let us internalize it, we live it out.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, thank you so much for life and birth.
Amen. Well, tonight we make the big switch from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And if you've been in several of these groups, the classes, you should have a little bit of the flavor of the Old Testament. You should have a little, maybe not a lot, but you should have a little bit of that. You know, the different stories. I know I stayed a little bit on the women's side of that, a little bit heavily, but that's... The flavor of the Old Testament. So you should have that. So tonight we make the shift, and you know the Bible has 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books, and together you have 66 different books of the Bible. So just keep that in mind. So we go to the New Testament tonight, and the most important event in the New Testament is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank you. We just got to say these things. We really do. We really do, so that we don't get lost in some kind of minutia of it. Okay. So that's the most important event. Like if you're in the Old Testament now, the most important event is the Exodus from Egypt and the going into the Promised Land. That is the most important event. In the Old Testament. But New Testament, most important event is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why the gospel writers spend so much time with that, with the what we call Passion Week or the last week of the life of Jesus. The gospel writers spend a lot of time because that's the important thing, make sure that it comes across for us. Now, When you think of the Gospels, I want to remind you now that only two Gospels mention the birth of Jesus Christ. So 50% of that, that is the Gospel writers, two, do not mention the birth of Jesus Christ. Like Mark begins with the baptism of Jesus Christ. And I think partly because, again, you're guessing some of this, okay, I am. Because Mark is concerned with action. And the key word, if you're going to find a key word for the Gospel of Mark, it would be the word immediate. Because Jesus is always, immediately he goes there and he does that. Then immediately he goes there and he does that. And Mark is really concerned about the action. Now, John, he beats them all. He starts in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was... So he goes all the way back to creation to start. And then, of course, he comes around and then does the baptism of Jesus and then begins the ministry. Now, if all you're reading is Mark and Luke, and Matthew, I know you don't think about these things, but when you're reading them, okay, by the way, they're all outlined after Mark. Matthew is reading Mark when he writes his, and Luke is reading Mark when he writes his, so they're outlined after that. But if that's all you have, the only thing you could come up with to really be assured of is that Jesus had 1 year of ministry. It's the book of John is where we get there was 3 years of his ministry. And the reason we have that is because John is plain about the visits to the temple or the Passover. And we know that there. Okay. Now, look, I wrestle with how much to lecture. Let's work. Let's if all right, if you get tired of it, Joan goes like this. She wants me to move on. The words of John are the simplest Greek of the New Testament. They're not really lofty or anything. They're the simplest words in the New Testament. Like if you read Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, I mean, it's really lofty talk, okay? But John used the most simplest words. And one writer says this, John is simple enough that a child can wade in it. It is profound enough that an elephant can drown in it. And that it really, to me, that really capsulizes the very nature of the book of John. The simplest words are put together in such a way that they're just profound to deal with. Let me read to you the purpose of the book, okay? If you were following along your Bible, you would go to John, the 20th chapter, the end of the 20th chapter, which is verse 30. Now listen to John, okay? Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Pretty simple. I don't mean really simple, simple. I mean it's pretty simple to figure out the purpose of the book. It's written right there. But that's the first ending. Then there's another ending because the last chapter was added a little bit later. He put that in there because he felt like it was missing. Okay, so. And then, almost the same thing at the end of the next chapter. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that it would be written. So you have two endings. And so you're not guessing. You don't have to guess as to why John wrote the book that we might believe. And that in believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we would have life through his name. Okay, so that's... all right, two other things before we go on, okay? Now, did you hear the word sign in that first ending? Okay, the word sign. John talks about signs. He's going to use miracles as signs. And, of course, you know what a sign does. The sign does not point to itself. It points to something else. Okay. In other words, a curve ahead. Yeah. The sign says the curve ahead. So it points to something else. And so in John is real careful. I'll talk to you in a minute about those. John is real careful, okay, on picking because he has an agenda that he wants to tell. Jesus did a bunch of stuff. But I'm going to tell you about this so that you get a real feel for Jesus. You can kind of figure out who Jesus is, okay? So when we come, now again, you know, Mark has got bing, 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 bing all over the place. Not so much in John. No. There are just 7 or 8. This really did hold me away. There are 7 or 8 signs. It's all according. Some people don't count the catch of fish in chapter 21. Okay, I'm counting it, so I'm going to say there's 8. So there's only, throughout the whole book, there's only 8 miracles, which he calls signs in there. Okay? Let me just run over water into wine, second chapter. Healing the noble man's son, chapter 4. Healing the man at the pool of Bethesda, which we're going to do tonight, chapter 5. Feeding the 5,000, chapter 6. Jesus walks on the water, chapter 6. Healing the blind man, chapter 9. Raising Lazarus from the dead, chapter 11. And then, of course, the last one is catch fish. Now, that's all. There's no exorcisms in John. He boggles my mind. And he's supposed to. That's what he wants to do. He just boggles my mind. Okay. So that, if you want to jot those down. Now, the other thing but before we start is the I am statements. You've probably heard of those. Okay. There are 7 or 8. Depending on how you look at it, I'll try to talk about that just a little bit, okay? So I'll run through it, but they're really important for John, especially. The I am statements picks up on Yahweh, where Moses and the burning bush, and Moses wants to know who is sending him. And, you know, who can I say sending me? And he says, I am that I am, which is his name, Yahweh. I am that I am. Okay? And so Jesus picks up on that to say, I'm Yahweh in your midst. I am Yahweh in your midst. I'm the Father. I'm God in your midst. Okay? All right. I am the bread of life. That's in the 6th chapter. I am the light of the world, in the 8th chapter. I am the door, 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd, 10th chapter. I am the resurrection and life, 11th chapter. I am the way, the truth, and the life, chapter 14. I am the true vine, chapter 15. And then the last one's kind of a renegade because he's not identifying any specific thing. He just says, before Abraham was, I am. And so we count that as well. So there's 8 of those. And I actually like the 8 number the best. But you can make it into 7. But I like the 8. Does anybody know? New beginnings. Everything brand new when it comes to the book of John. Okay. Oh, one other little statement, right? We often say seeing is believing. In John, believing will help you see. Okay? I just wanted to add that one to it. Okay, are we ready to go do one? Now this is not your run-of-the-mill miracle here we have. Okay? All right? Are you guys ready to one? Ready? Rock and roll! We just have there are just 15 verses tonight, and we are. Take it easy, baby. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Okay. But just 15 verses to do tonight. Okay. We got to put something in here to make a filler. Okay. But I you know, if we'll do an exercise later. If I don't know if I feel led. If we feel led, we'll get 4. Or together and come up with some. Okay. All right. Just 15 verses. I'm thinking we'll kind of go through it pretty quickly and then we'll come back and work on some stuff. Okay. Would that be the best way? We'll see how this goes. Okay. Now jump in anytime, obviously, that you want. Okay. Sometime later. John's not specific about these times and that day. Other places, you know, they're pretty specific. This one here, we can't get a good handle on it as far as where and when and at that time, okay, other than we know where it's at, okay? Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. We don't know what that one is either, okay? Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. There was a great number of disabled people used to lie the blind, lame, and the paralyzed. Okay, so they gather around this pool. They're laying around the pool. And did you notice there's five porches or five porticles? Okay. Let's go on to the next one. All right. From time to time, an angel. Now, this is an explanation. Some of your Bibles will not have this. That's okay. It was added later. It's an explanation is what it was. Okay. And I know my text, even though it's New International Version, does not have this statement in it. Okay. So don't let it bother you. You got it in yours? Yeah. Oh, that's an excellent translation, too. Yeah. Okay. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. Now, that's an explanation as to why all these people are laying around this pool. Okay. Or whatever they're doing, standing and sitting, I don't know. Okay, I think this guy was laying down, okay, from the looks of things. So they wait for the water to be disturbed. And when it's disturbed, the first one gets in gets healed. Okay. That means your place in line is important. That's what that means. Okay. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, those of you who are eat up by the numbers, the five porches, they say, would stand for the five books of the Old Testament, and the 38 years is how long the Israelites stayed in the desert from Kadesh Barnea. They were 38 years. I don't know if it was, makes sense. They throw that out. It's there, okay? All right. So how long had he been sick? Okay. Or whatever was wrong with him. For 38 years. Let me see. What would 40 years ago would be what? Would be 1980? Yeah, 1981, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's 40. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. So he's been ill that long. That's a long time. That's a long time being invalid. Okay. When Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to be well?" Okay. And by the way, Jesus does this. It's like in Mark, it's remarkable in Mark that he comes into Jerusalem on Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He comes into Jerusalem, he goes into the temple, and he looks around. He just looks around. Then he goes out and spends the evening. So he just didn't do things in the spur of the moment very often. Just didn't do that. He looks around. And this is another thing. He considered things, you know. Then Jesus saw him lying there. What did Jesus learn? You see, like us, some things he has to learn. He learned that he had been there in that condition for a long time. And what did Jesus ask him? I'm sorry? Oh, really? Well, that's interesting. Another place Jesus would ask, it's not unusual for Jesus to ask, what do you want me to do for you? You know. No. What? Oh, okay. All right. What? What? Okay. Yeah. It begs us to do this. The scripture begs us to do just what we're doing here. Yeah. The word is desire. What's your desire? Is your desire to get well? I think it's a great question. I'm going to ask you that. Although we'll ask it again later. Do you actually desire to be well? Okay. All right. Ready? Let's go to the next slide. Okay. Are we reading? We're doing good. All right. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool whenever the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now, friends, does that sound like an answer to the question Jesus asked? I just can't get there. Now, for 38 years you've been there, and you just can't get there. By golly, you just can't get there. All right. I've been trying to get it. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. He did exactly what he was told to do. Amen. So that's two interactions Jesus has had with him. Oh, we got more, Vicki. Vicki, we got more. We got more. Yeah, but we got more. We'll get to it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. All right. Excellent. Great. With the next slide in it, The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Okay. All right. I'm sorry? I know. It's almost as if Jesus... And by the way, the next healing is like this even more, okay? But it's almost like Jesus sees them there and he just reaches out and tweaks their nose. Boom! There, take that! All right. So, it's on the Sabbath, and so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, it is a Sabbath day. Well, that's a really good insight. Isn't it? Know what day it is? I'm sorry. Yeah. The Lord forbids you to carry your mat. Well, he's caught in catch 22 now. Jesus told him to pick it up. All right. But he replied. Now he replies. All right. The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Is anybody seeing a trend here? When Jesus asked him, do you want to be well? He blamed somebody else. When the Jewish leaders ask him, why are you carrying the mat? He blames somebody else. There, that answers whether he had a wife or not there, that way. Pick up your mat and walk. So they ask him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd and was not there. You've been sick for 38 years. Somebody heals you and you don't even know their name. Well, I don't know. All right, let's see. We got more. We have more. There's more to the story. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Who just got that? Who just figured that out? Parents. But this is this. I told you guys that this is sleeper. This one here will sneak up on you now. This will get you at night. Well, it was all up to him, Tim. From that point on, it's all up to him. If he keeps on that path, though, something worse will happen to him. I can't imagine what would be worse, but I guess there are worse things. Now I want to remind you that it's a classic to use the word the Jews, and it's not the whole Jewish people, it's the leaders. Yeah, it's the leaders. So you wouldn't find that in the language. And I want to remind you that this is the reason the Jews were going to kill him. Well, he knows it's Jesus now, but as soon as he finds out that it's Jesus the one healing, he figures Jesus is the bad guy and is up for punishment. Okay?
No, just saying that he goes and tells on Jesus after getting healed after 38 years.
Yeah. We know where it's at. We got enough information here. He's scared. Yeah, but we're not going to argue here, too, that this man doesn't know what this is going to cause Jesus. Well, you guys are being awful nice to him. You guys are nicer to him than I did. I waited. I'm a chicken when it comes to this stuff because I waited till I read A.T. Robinson on this here. Yeah. Okay. This is A.T. Robinson. This is 1932, by the way. Yes. The man was either ungrateful and willfully betrayed Jesus, or he was incompetent and did not know that he was bringing trouble on his benefactor. In either case, one has small respect for him. That's A.T. Robinson. And that was the one that A.T. Robinson was the one that gave me. You got it all. And I want to remind you, that John has made sure that you have all you need. Okay, you get that. Okay. I want to make sure that we... I'm sorry? No, he has a sin. He has a sin that if he doesn't stop it, and he hasn't stopped it here, because Jesus is now giving him the final warning here. And you know, as Jesus found him, he didn't find Jesus. So, yeah, Jesus found him. You know what? Let's do that. Let's split up four. Get four people together. And I want you to get your group. Get a group and someplace quickly. Let's do this quickly. Okay, we got a few minutes. And I want you to find out, or at least come up with the best, what is this man's sin that he needs to stop? Y'all, come on. Get groups, group four, and I want you to come up with an idea. Yeah. What? And I want you to come up with what sin does this man need to stop? Out of your group, I want you to answer, what is this man's sin that he has to stop so that something worse doesn't befall him?
My Bible doesn't tell me that.
No, you're supposed to come to that conclusion. I mean, the story is written for you to come to that conclusion.
Stop sinning. I think I'd be asking.
Put a cat amongst the pigeons, yeah.
We weren't supposed to make this easy. Take another minute or so. Take another minute or so. Yeah. Yeah, you know, Pastor, there's a long range of answers for this one here. Because we weren't given that particular answer. Okay. There's a wide berth here. Wide berth here. I mean, Heidi, I couldn't figure out what you were saying there, but you were saying something important, it sounded like. I'm sorry, it was what?
Maybe it was fake.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's just sneaky bad. Oh, I like that. Yeah. How we doing? We doing good? Got a lot of chattering going on out there yet? The prize is an A on the course.
Get an A.
Get an A on the course. Are we getting there?
Looking for 4 ounces.
All I know is that God is in serious trouble.
Yes.
Except Jesus.
Oh, boy. Down. Yeah. This. Okay. All right. Can we get back now? Can we get back now?
Excuse me, everybody.
I know. But the text begs you to do that. The text begs you to try to think. Okay, get a spokesman out of your group. Go ahead, spokesman. Spokeswoman. Spokesman. Is this out of your group here? Okay, Kathy, what's this man's sin that he needs to stop?
Being apathetic.
Okay. Anybody want to argue with her on that? No, your group was only allowed one answer. No, I said, Maria, I'm just kidding.
He wasn't grateful.
He wasn't grateful. That's a sin. Is a sin is ingratitude. Okay. Yeah. Now, you guys did a lot of talking over here. Oh, wait a minute. They want to go. They're ready. Okay. Wallowing in self-pity. Whoa. I like that. The ingratitude. And what we got? Ingratitude, self-pity, and there was one other in here. Apathetic. Oh, okay. You didn't get out of it. Is that what you guys come to? Well, you guys did a lot of talking in here. Joan did a lot of talking, I know. Well, we don't know that.
Well, if you could have asked, there might have been others asking too and got their food. Bottom line is, we don't really know. Everybody's right. Everybody's wrong. Let's move on.
But if he was living in my house, I'd wait over there, and when the water stirred, I'd kick him in there because I'm ready to get rid of this guy.
When I read through the story, is I believe that we have the authority. Yeah. It's
So Jesus didn't pray to the Father that this man was to do. He just said, get up and go. So for me, do I have the boldness if somebody's sick to say, get up? If I have the authority of Jesus, I think I should. To get up and walk. I don't have to say, Lord, I just please, Jesus, please heal me. I can just say, get up and walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam's good. Adam's good. Now, is there any of you that thought maybe he might be mad at Jesus for making him well? You don't think so? Why not? I just wanted to raise that question with you. Do you think there's nobody thought that he might have been mad at Jesus for making him well? Oh, no, he did what he was told to do. Chris is begging to say something back here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he didn't have to turn Jesus in. There was no compulsion to turn Jesus in. He could have just stayed in the temple and wandered around the temple there without going out and telling them. Anyway, what the pastor did? At least something worse will follow.
His file was pulled, and so now he's not, and because, who knows? And he's saying that same sin will get you back in that position.
I think it's the same. I'm like you. I think it's the same. Yeah. Exactly. I don't have the answer. I mean, I have answers, Kathy. I have answers, but I don't have the answer. The text is begging you to do what you've been doing. Who had that ingratitude? I think that group. We had a group that had ingratitude. Yeah, yeah. No, he found out. Yeah, but in the temple, he had plenty of opportunity to give thanks to Jesus. Jesus did. Jesus was in the temple. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sitting, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think it's here. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is the opportunity again here. I think we were talking about that just a minute ago here. Yeah, that's the opportunity. Yes.
That's good discussion.
Let me work with you just a little bit, okay? While this man was radically changed on the outside, there is no evidence that he was changed on the inside. Unlike the woman at the well who met Jesus, right? was not so much changed on the outside in a miracle, but she was changed on the inside. Because when Jesus meets her, she's a recluse. And at the end of the text, she's an evangelist for Jesus Christ. You see that? Okay. I mean, she goes into town, she does the preaching, the communicating, and she's the evangelist. The 12 disciples had just been in the same town, and they came back with lunch. But now this woman, she comes back with all these people to Jesus. She changed radically on the inside, maybe not on the outside. He's changed on the outside, but it had no effect on his inside. Whatever you think that sin would be. And I don't think that's much of an answer as it is a comparison of the two to get that. We still didn't say what was the change that needed to take place on the inside. Yes, you did, didn't you? You got ingratitude. You got apathy. You got many, many of those sins. But you don't want to spend Sunday afternoon with this guy, do you? I don't want to. I mean, I like him. I'm not going to kick him when I walk down the street or anything like that. But what happens to a human being to get into this spot? I mean, I'm serious. What happens to you to get into this spot? Yes. There you. I didn't think of that when I was working on this. But actually, it's a great comparison. A great comparison. I just say to you, take responsibility as best you can for yourself. Learn the wonderful art of gratitude. It'll change your attitude all the way around. But most of all, be grateful to Jesus Christ when he gives you something. Be thankful to him. Okay? Go ahead.
Us getting salvation and then continuing to sin is a stop.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Because your heart hasn't changed. Some people, they keep professing Christ, but their heart changed.
Yeah, and
because the religious leaders, whereas accepting death, no cross, no change. Take the cross is a big change.
Yeah, and what we're looking for is a person who meets Jesus and is changed deeply by the experience of meeting him. And that's what's supposed to happen to you. That's what's supposed to happen to you in church is when the preacher preaches to us, and we're supposed to be changed inside by that, or try to be, make an effort for that. Okay, you guys did really good. You got a great attitude tonight. You got a great attitude tonight, but there, I just want to get across to you there. There are no solid answers for this, but I wanted you to look at this healing because it's sure not in the general flow of things that we might have. Yes. And it's surely you can see in this guy there was no evidence of gratitude and no evidence of change, which we've talked about. Okay, but there he is, and the last we see of him, he's going to go out and rat on Jesus, and that's the last we see of him. First thing is, don't be that guy. Do not be that guy. There's nothing like fear to take you right straight to hell. I let me remind you, I know I keep doing it, okay? In the book of Revelation, when it describes people who go to hell, the first description of people who go to hell, you never guess. You never guess. You know what it is? Coward. Coward. The first people who go to hell is cowards, who don't have enough gumption and wherewithal to face life. All right. Any other words? I'm not sure it would be the last word. Would you say it? Mike, go ahead. There you go. Well, you'd have to beat me there in the morning if I wasn't allowed to do that. I'd be right there in the morning, yeah. Because I know those rules are made for breaking. All right. Y'all been great tonight. Y'all been, this is the most active I've seen in this group ever. It should be. I mean, this text calls for that. Let me thank God and ask a blessing on us, okay? Lord, we thank you for your marvelous word. It never ceases to just inspire us and to lift our spirits and to jog our minds and get us to thinking. And Lord, do help us understand not to be people who are in danger of things worse simply because of our sin. Oh, Lord, help us. Give us good sense and give us strength of character and strength of spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good job, baby.
Yeah. There you go.